Hey.
Come on now. And now it's time for off-season reviews. And now your host, Rod or Cam.
Or both of them.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Off-Season Reviews with your host, Rod, and I'm joined by
Karen.
And it is Arrow Season 2 that we're going to be reviewing today. A lot happened in this season. I'd like to get a quick review of like how you feel about it overall. So let's start with that first. Karen, how'd you feel about Arrow Season 2 in general?
It was very good. I actually watched Season 1 and went straight into Season 2, so I didn't have like the break like most people had if you watch it, episode by episode. But overall, it was enjoyable. It answered a lot of questions that I had. It fleshed out the characters a lot more. In Season 2, I feel like Season 2 was a lot better than Season 1 as far as the action, depth of story, character development.
Yeah, I gotta say the production value of Season 2 was amazing. Some of the things that they did, such as the Flash cameo, that storyline. The fighting choreography really improved.
A lot.
The special effects, you know, like... Remember Season 1, they didn't really have superpowers. And I love Season 1, but Season 2, they introduced, you know, this idea of super strength and, different, you know, powers in the universe. And, you know, some of the episodes where they had the dude that becomes Solomon Grundy, he's throwing Oliver around the room like, you know, we're watching a movie, you know? And I really enjoyed that kind of stuff. Roy's superpowers, of course, Death, Stroke. There's just so many different elements to it. Also, I love that it's 22 episodes long.
Yes.
So you end up with a ton of just, story. There's just, you know, there's stuff from the island, there's stuff that's going on currently.
Right.
And they really did a good job, even better job of meshing that together.
Yes, and I also like the way they introduced Scarecrow.
Scarecrow?
Yeah, isn't Scarecrow in this one?
No.
What's it?
Who you talking about? The dude with the drugs?
Yes, with the mask on his face. That's not Scarecrow, a wrong character.
No, you're thinking about, his name is Deacon Blood.
Yes.
What's the whole name? Yeah, I think it's Deacon Blood, and he's the guy who was going to be mayor. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not Scarecrow. That's a Batman villain.
Oh, and I guess I thought Scarecrow because I was like, that's some shit this Scarecrow would do.
Yeah, that character was good, and I liked that he wasn't a throwaway character.
Right, he had a purpose.
Yeah, which was a huge, that was a huge thing for me is that I was pretty sure, but I was hoping that, you know, I think in the first season, they kind of had some throwaway bad guy of the week moments.
Right, where it happened and moved on to next one. But then they started doing where we're going to introduce somebody, but we're going to slowly bring him in, slowly build a character around him. And it's almost like you really couldn't tell who was who.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that. I thought that they did a great job with, bringing in certain characters, keeping them around, not to mention Manu Bennett's turn as Deathstroke. Slade Wilson was just
excellent
everything.
Job.
Like, right. That was about casting more than anything else because, all of a sudden you have a character that, not only is he magnetic when on screen, and it's not like he's not even in every episode, but when he's on screen, he's a real threat. And I think that really mattered a ton to the way that the season went.
Right. And we've talked about this when it comes to villains, your villains really need to be unpredictable, a badass, and you need to see them do some shit where their presence just changes the whole atmosphere. And anytime he showed up, it was like shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
Like, and even if he didn't do anything, the whole time you're like, shit's about to go down, because he was such a threat. And also, I think that they did an excellent job with the flashbacks on the ships, mm-hmm. about, you know, his history on how he developed as a character.
Yeah. For the record, I hate to cut you off, but it's Brother Blood. Sebastian Blood is his real name, but go ahead.
Okay, no problem. And I think they did an excellent job, so that whenever you've seen him in real time, you was like, he's gonna fuck some shit up. And also, I like the fact that he had a motivation that wasn't dumb.
Yeah.
Like his motivation had a purpose. And I think I was like as shocked as Oliver to find out that nigga wasn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just like, oh my gosh, he's not dead. It's about to be on and popping. And his interaction with Brother Blood, like that whole scenario, I would have never thought that.
Whose interaction with Brother Blood?
Slade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Slade used Brother Blood as an underling, right. Promised him the city, and then ultimately betrays him at the end. And Brother Blood tries his best to, like, basically betray him back. And,
right, you know, fixes, whatever.
Yeah, ends up getting killed.
Right.
So I thought we would go kind of, I mean, that seems to be our overall impressions, that we both really enjoyed the season.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can go kind of character by character and talk about, you know, different things and story arcs involving them and stuff that we liked. We started the season with Oliver, really going through a lot because his best friend died.
Right.
And he's still trying to get over, you know, this idea that, hey, I kind of was responsible, in my opinion, for my best friend's death.
Right.
And he, you know, he's kind of deciding that he needs to hang it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, like, meanwhile, while this is happening, Elizabeth Rochev, who was a great character, played by, what's her big head girl's name? Summer Glau, who's normally the death knell for, TV shows, but this time she, managed to beat the odds. Normally she's the person that gets on a, I'm serious. Normally when she's on a TV show, it typically goes downhill and gets canceled. But, she played that character to a T, because she came in and was like, hey, I want to take over this company. So she becomes a new, like, kind of quasi love interest bad guy. You're not sure where she stands.
Right.
You know, and then Laurel is convinced that the arrow is evil and bad, because the last thing she saw was, the arrow walking away from, this dead body of his friend.
Right.
And her lover at the time.
Right. And she was determined, your ass is going to jail.
Right. So she's, you know, so Tommy's death pretty much is the impetus for a lot of stuff that happens this season. The guilt that Roy's dealing with, Oliver's dealing with, and everything else. So, all right, let's go by characters. Let's start with, Moira Queen, the mother of Oliver. She's an interesting character this season, right?
Yes.
Cause one, we start off with her and Oliver being estranged. To a certain extent, because she's behind all of this stuff that he tried to stop.
Right.
And he finds out, like, hey, you had something to do with this. And Moira's a pretty bad, evil person, you know? Like,
right.
You know, like, she's at the crux of all this stuff, and she's doing it, she says, to protect her children.
Right. She was like, by all means necessary, because her and her boy was going to set Slade up,
mm-hmm.
and she basically bought him out there and had him killed. Like
who's her boy? What do you mean?
Remember the Chinese dude? They was gonna set him up. She didn't know mm-hmm. that dude was Slade.
Right.
Was technically basically the same person that they was trying to take out.
Yep.
And she basically got him to confess. And before he was like, you and this too, he ended up dying.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you goddamn bitch.
Yeah, she was scheming and plotting so hard.
Right.
And it was working.
Yeah, it was.
I think maybe that was Yao Fei that she acted. No, Yao Fei was, what's his name's mentor? I forget that dude's name. But
I
yeah,
don't know,
she,
but you remember that dude? Yeah.
Yeah, she had that dude killed. You know, the other thing about Moore that was interesting is we find out that Thea isn't the son, the daughter of her and her, former husband is her and Merlin.
Right.
Malcolm Merlin is Thea's father.
Never seen Moore, that coming.
Moore never thought that she needed to tell anybody. But apparently she knew the whole time.
I think she did eventually tell her husband. They just opted not to, tell the children. I think
okay,
he knew.
Is that what it is?
Right. I think he knew, and she was like, well, he loved her anyway, even though, you know, he knew.
Yeah. But you know, we just find out she's full of secrets, you know,
right, full of them.
And even still, you know, she hides it from Maura. My man Oliver finds out.
Right.
And that becomes a huge, like, bone of contention between them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until eventually Thea does find out, because, you know, everybody always finds out the secrets on this show.
Right.
That they're not supposed to know. but
they do a good way of revealing them, where it's like, it would be realistic for you to find out these ways.
Yeah. And, you know, she basically is a woman who's plotting and scheming. One thing I didn't like about her storyline is that she went from criminal persona non grata to running for mayor of the city against Sebastian Blood. And I thought that storyline was very unrealistic.
Okay.
Because I don't think you can go from, hey, you were responsible for killing a whole bunch of people.
Right.
To, oh, you might win this election. Because like she, at one point they were saying she would win the election. And I think, it was a way for them to get her, her ex, I guess husband,
mm-hmm.
the black dude mm-hmm. back involved in the storyline.
Right.
Walter, mm-hmm. Walter Steele, who's played by Colin Salmon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like their way of getting him back in the storyline. Cause then all of a sudden he became like her campaign manager.
Right.
And I guess because of that chemistry being a little bit odd the first season, in my opinion, like, there's no hot fiery love there. He was a very composed, cold person, in my opinion.
Right.
It kind of made more sense that he would be her campaign manager than her love interest anyway, but it still didn't fit like that in the storyline that people would just go vote for her.
True.
So that was my only issue with her storyline. Now we don't ever get to see the results of the election because Slade Wilson ends that ass.
Right. And the thing about it is that after she basically said, hey, she was going to say, I'm going to pull my name out of running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, fuck it. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
And then they like for the first time in like both seasons, it was almost like a pure family moment. They was in the car. They were, you know, talking, and everybody was like basically telling secrets. And I think she was going to tell that Slade was alive, and Oliver was going to tell that he was Arrow. Like, you mm-hmm. could tell it was getting to that moment. And
you knew that they were, something was going to happen because it was too early in the season. Like, it would have been like a finale moment.
Okay.
And that was like, I want to say with like 6-7 episodes left to go in the season. You know, just, I was like, there's no way they reveal all this to each other and then it goes well.
True. And I guess, like I said, because I seen it on Netflix, I was watching it and all of a sudden she was like, hey, y'all. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, mm-hmm. I literally looked at my TV screen and I wanted to scream because I was like, no, she was going to tell them. And I can say, she redeemed herself at her death.
Which is funny because she started the season with the death penalty hanging over her head.
Right.
In a courtroom. And then she basically got the death penalty.
She sure did. Because she was like, you're not going to kill my children. And you could tell her love for her children was real. Mm-hmm. So her whole thing was, I'm protecting my children. You know, I really believe that was her motivation the whole time. Now, the methods and the ways she did it, don't agree with. But I really do think her whole purpose was like, I will protect my family no matter what.
Yeah, it's funny because in its, you know, if you really think about it, she did prove that it was all for her kids by dying for them.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was most of her storyline. I can't think of anything that we might have missed with her.
Because she was so conniving that mm-hmm. I think Oliver ended up getting a girl pregnant.
That is what we missed, yes.
And she went to that bitch and was like, hey girl, here's some money. Call my son and tell him you got to go, bitch.
And that just shows how irresponsible Oliver was, right, and how cold she was. Cause that whole subplot was a flashback to prove this is how much she cares about her children. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad because does this mean Oliver has a kid out there somewhere? Is that going to become part of the storyline?
Right.
Is he going to become a father? I kept thinking the ending of this season was going to be really high stakes because they weren't going to make him pick between Laurel and Felicity. I thought he was going to end up picking between Laurel and his child that Slade found out about and went and found. Luckily they didn't go that route, but you know, and then some people were trying to speculate like could so-and-so be his kid, but that was only like a few years ago, right. So the kid wouldn't be more than 6 or 7 or so, but
at the max.
Yeah, it's very interesting how that story played out, and mm-hmm. I do wonder what's gonna happen with that kid, you know, and if it's ever gonna come up again,
right?
And of course the mother, because you know that actress didn't die, so mm-mm. she could come up.
Right.
So, all right, that's more a storyline. Let's talk about somebody else. Roy Harper. Roy had a very interesting story this season because he got hit with the Mirakuru. I want to say, was it this season that he got got it in his system, or was it the end of last? Well, whenever it was.
I think it's this season.
His whole thing was like anger management.
Right.
You know, he wants to help Arrow. He wants to, you know, be recruited by him. Arrow does recruit him and does, eventually accept his help begrudgingly. Cause Arrow doesn't want a sidekick. But Roy's determined that, hey, I'm going out here fighting crime every night, getting in trouble.
Regardless.
Yeah. He's dating, Thea. Thea wants him to stop this shit. But he just won't, you know. He ends up befriending Black Canary's sidekick, whose name escapes me right now.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
I think it was Sin, maybe. Let me just look up her, look up how she looks. But I think it was Sin is Black Canary's sidekick, and they become kind of friends, and he's kind of working with them. Yeah, it's Sin.
Right. And with her, she's actually the child of a man that she watched die on the island. He gave her a picture and was like, hey, if mm-hmm. you ever make it back, you know, take care of my daughter.
Right.
And she did.
Right. And at one point, I think episode 3, Oliver recruits Roy to help him find the Black Canary,
mm-hmm.
because he was trying to figure out who that was at the beginning of the season. And mm-hmm. of course, later we find out that, you know, who it is and all that stuff. But, pretty interesting storyline. And then he gets, like this Mirakuru overdose shit going on. He's having anger issues. He can't decide what to do. And then they go through some like Romeo Juliet shit with him and Thea, where like he breaks up with Thea, because Roy tells him to, Oliver tells him to, but like, what the fuck does Oliver know about relationships?
All right.
You know, this is a guy who fucked his sister's fucked the sister of his like girlfriend at the time. And, he talked about not hurting people, but people get hurt around him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he doesn't want to bring people into his problems, but he actually brings people into his problems constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought that he was kind of, being a hypocrite by even getting involved in that relationship. But he basically said, if you want to really be my sidekick, you need to get rid of Thea. Cause she can get hurt in all this.
Right, because they find out your identity, they're going to know exactly who she is.
Right, so he's trying to teach Roy how to, like, at one point they take him under their wing, try to teach him how to harness his power and learn control. You know, so he's doing all kinds of stuff with his, you know, like this water training that he had on the island and all this stuff. But it all turns out to be for naught because he basically gets an overdose of Mirakura or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have to put him to sleep for most of the season. So, you know, his storyline gets a little bit wasted because of that, because, you know, for a few episodes, he's just laying on the table.
Right.
So we don't get to see a lot with him. Now, it turns out, like, Roy, you know, had some minor stuff going on. Like, at one point, the police suspected him of some shit, but they ended up letting him go. He kind of co-runs the club with Thea, and that ends up not working out.
Didn't he, like, go through the city and was, like, tearing shit up? But was that after he woke up?
That's after he woke up.
Okay.
He tried, I'm just going through the little shit that happened.
Okay.
He sets it up to look like he's cheating on Thea so that he'll get caught and she'll break up with him. Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, how the fuck Oliver thinks that's better than just telling her the truth, I don't know. You know what I mean? So now right. You think your boyfriend's a fucking scumbag? Okay, I guess that's better. You walk around angry about that shit. So yeah, they put him to sleep. He wakes up and, because they're using this venom to keep him like sedated, but he wakes up. He has super strength, like beats up Diggle and everybody, runs out in the street, basically hulking out, in front of everybody. And then eventually they give him sedated again, and they give him the cure to see if it'll work. And, it looks like it doesn't work. Turns out it does work. And it turns out to be the big breakthrough that they need in order to take down Slade and all of his, henchmen, because it turns out that the cure they used on Roy is what they'll be using on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was pretty much his storylines. Did I miss anything? Anything you want to add about him?
Oh yeah. Near the end, Thea end up thinking that he's Arrow.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like Roy was kind of wasted this season, but it'll be okay because he'll come back next season, and he should play a part as the Red Arrow. Now, it was funny as in the comic book, his nickname is Speedy. But in the show, Thea's nickname is Speedy.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, he might change his name to Speedy in her honor.
Right, or maybe, yeah, who knows? Now Thea, speaking of the queen, Thea Queen, might as well do her next. She runs off with her father, Malcolm Merlyn, at the end of the season.
Yeah, cause the thing about Thea is that Thea was like, God damn it, tell me the truth. Like, that's all she ever asked was for everybody just to be truthful with her. Mm-hmm. And all she ever got was lies.
Right. And like, and the thing is, you know, let's start, because she's a sympathetic character. She went from extremely annoying in season one, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, I disliked that character completely. I didn't really understand. I still don't understand, like, her age, because she runs a bar, but she got DUI, but is she old enough to drink? Like, how old is this character? Probably I feel like she's right 16. Around.
But she looks 16, but she got around like 21, 22.
Yeah, she must be 20 something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, she gets lied to. She gets, thinks she gets cheated on by Roy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, come to find out, like, he, when that last mission where he comes to his senses and he has to save her, and she basically tells him, like, just tell me the truth. I need somebody in my life that'll tell me the truth, and he won't. Mm-hmm. And she finds an arrow and thinks that it's Roy is the arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much breaks her. Her mom lies to her about the paternity, you know, about her father, for most of the season. So she's all fucked up off of that. Can't trust her mom. She knows Oliver knows something about it. Won't tell her.
Right.
I think Slade even kidnaps her at one point and tells her that, Oliver is Arrow, I believe. Oh, no. Or does he tell her who her real father is?
Does she tell her? I don't think
he told her something.
Right. He told her something very important.
Yeah.
I don't remember if, I think she did tell her that, he was her father.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I don't think she believed it.
Right.
She was like, whatever. And whatever it is was something very important. I really think that's what.
Yeah, I think Thea found out that Merlin was her father. I think that was the thing that Slade told her.
Right.
And you know, it was a lot of big reveals in that episode. But yeah, like Thea pretty much gets thrown around. That's what happens. Yeah, he told Thea her shocking paternity. And all of this stuff is she's being used as a tool. Even when Slade tells her that, he's telling her that so they can distract Oliver just so he can take over the company. Like,
right.
She's just a tool and a pawn. And what I liked about the character's arc was, Willa Holland played this well. She just wants to be in the know and to not be used anymore.
Right. That's so all she wants.
When she does decide to finally leave with Merlin, it felt genuine because her character wants the tools to now like fight for herself and to not just constantly be thrown around from storyline to storyline, used by person to person, lied to and kept in the dark at all times. She would like to take control of her own destiny, and maybe going along with Malcolm Merlin is going to, you know, get her the tools to be able to do that stuff.
And also, I think too, he was the only person that flat told her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was basically, somebody was like attacking her or some shit doing when the, city was about to,
Yeah, the Mirakuru, bad guys were all pumped up and fighting and blowing up the city.
Right.
And Merlin basically took her under his wing and was like, I'm gonna protect you. At one point, she even shoots him and tries to kill him.
Right. She was like, fuck you too. Bam. Yeah,
and he basically gets up like, hey, that's what I'm talking about. That's my daughter.
Right, because my son was a punk ass and he would have never shot me.
Yeah, so he, like, in his opinion, he has the daughter he always wanted, and she now has the tools and a person that will tell her the truth.
Right, and I think the season literally ended with her rolling off with him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, next season is going to be off the chain because she's about to get fucking training and she's mad and she's angry and she's going to come back and she's going to test shit up and she's really going to flip a fool when she finds out that Oliver is the Green Arrow, because she's like, motherfucker, you have lied to me all this time.
Yeah. And I think it's going to get ugly.
Right.
You know? There was like a lot of, stuff going on with her where I thought, like, in the first season, I don't like her. She's annoying. They can't really decide what to do with this character.
Right.
And now I'm all about, what is she going to be like when we come back from the break?
Right.
Like, is she going to get trained? Is she going to be shooting people with arrows and shit now?
I think she is literally going to be off the train because she's going to get the same training that Canary got, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that she's going to be strong. I think that she's going to be able to fight and stand up, and she's going to be harvesting a lot of anger.
Yeah. And I think she's tired of being thrown around.
Right.
You know, it's just like she was kidnapped bait, and that's, you know, one of the worst things you can be on these shows. It's just a motherfucker that every week is just getting kidnapped.
Right.
You know? So yeah, it was good to see her kind of get over that. Which was dope. Let's see, who we want to talk about next? What about Detective Quentin Lance, who went from detective to beat cop?
Right, because everybody was like, "Nigga, you crazy? We don't want to send you to jail." But yeah, you insane, dog. We're gonna demote you.
He got thrown in jail for working with the Arrow at one point. Mm-hmm. Then he turns out the Arrow's the only one that can save the city, so they let him back out.
Right.
Give him his badge back. But yeah, they were killing him this season. I mean, just if I would have saw him in that beat cop uniform one more time,
mm-hmm.
I mean, damn, they punked the shit out of him, man.
Yeah, cause he would come and do shit and he was like, well, this is all I can do. You know, but mm-hmm. he still, you know, kept in contact with the Arrow and shit, and he would try to do shit. And they was like, dog, you are not over this case. And you could just see him like going, fuck y'all niggas. But you know, he couldn't say that, but you could see the anger when he just was like, I know I'm right and I know what I'm talking about. Why don't somebody listen to me?
Yeah, not to mention that he's, you know, he's been demoted from detective to officer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's now believes in the hood because remember Oliver, he helped Oliver in the last episode of season one,
mm-hmm.
To avert the undertaking, which was the, you know, going to blow everything up.
Right. And it was
in the Glades.
And it was one of those things where he was like, I don't need to know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, cause I think.
Yeah. He's almost like Commissioner Gordon of,
right.
You know, this situation.
And it wouldn't surprise me if his character becomes something like that. Like, as time goes on, he ends up being like that captain, you know, the highest person of the department,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, because he was like, I don't need to know who he is. Who he is doesn't matter. What he does is actually bigger. He actually loves and cares about the city, and I do too.
Yeah, he ends up fighting the Mirakuru dude and collapsing the lung and like almost dying. Like, he really believed in Arrow. And he had a lot of shit going on this season. His daughter comes back from the dead, basically.
Right.
You know, which is something that, you know, he didn't, there was really no way for him to know that, you know. Mm-hmm. Black Canary, not to mention that, but Black Canary is his daughter.
Right. And she was basically like, Dad, don't tell my sister. And he was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
how can I not tell her that you're alive? Like, yeah. And then I think he began to get compassion for the Arrow because he was like, dog, you keep all these goddamn secrets and mm-hmm. you can't tell, because telling will hurt the people more than them not knowing.
Yeah. And Sarah Lance is, you know, the Black Canary, which, you know, his ex-wife, pretty much they broke up after losing their daughter. So now his ex-wife knows she's alive. I think his ex-wife knows Black Canary is their daughter, right?
No.
Oh no, did she get knocked out?
No, right.
She don't know.
Okay. No, she don't know. But, during season one, when she was like, hey, our daughter's still alive. Mm-hmm. And he was like, don't bring that bullshit in here. Cause his character arc went 360. He went from, I'ma catch him no matter what. Fuck this nigga. He going to jail. He committed crimes. He's killing people. And I think he's seen Oliver go from literally killing people to the person who he is now, which is, I'm not killing people. I'm here for the city. I have a bigger purpose. And I think he's seen that transformation.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, like by the end of the season, he's all fucked up because of his lung shit. And we'll see what happens to him at the beginning of the next season. But
yeah, but you don't know that at first.
But he, like, I thought the character who went from kind of a mildly annoying trope of
right,
I'm on to you, Oliver guy, mm-hmm. to kind of like coming around to be kind of a sidekick.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple unrealistic moments where they like fight ninjas and he like punches one out and shit.
I can deal with that,
but I did enjoy him anyway. Mm-hmm. As the guy who's kind of always over his head. I really enjoyed the story arc of him trying to get Laura off her drugs.
Right.
And it was funny because once she got high, he stopped believing anything she was talking about.
Anything. And she was telling the truth. Right. Like, the one time she fucking knew that something was wrong with Brother Blood and that his ass was up to no goddamn good. Nobody believed what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she even went to, the center,
mm-hmm.
where his mother was, who he had underneath another name, and she basically told her who he was and the truth and his backstory, and they was like, nah, bitch, you do drugs.
Right. So that's basically his storyline. Let's see who else we want to do. Let's do Felicity. Felicity, the ever, first of all, to me, Felicity is probably one of the most attractive characters on the show, if not the most attractive person.
Mm-hmm.
But they do that thing where they put her hair up and put glasses on her, and we're all supposed to go, oh, yeah, she's not a smoke show. No pun intended. But Felicity Smoke is Oliver's sidekick, basically his oracle to the Arrow's Batman, keeping up all the electronic information
stuff.
And all that stuff.
Right.
And hacking and whatnot. She has some interesting story arcs because they kind of tease that maybe her and Oliver are going to get together and they're in love and there's a romance brewing, but they never really capitalize on that.
Right. It's almost like a push-pull type of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where it's funny because you had a period of time where whenever she went to go see the dude that's getting ready to be the Flash, he was really hurt and angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he started being really nasty and rude. Yeah. It was like, you know, why don't you spend that time? I was like, oh, I could see the hint of jealousy because he was like, I need you here. You know, it was one of the things where I was like, I think he really likes her, but he don't really know how to express it.
The thing is, though, did you read it as romantic jealousy or just jealousy because we have a mission and now you're doing this? You know, you're just walking away like this.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think it was, hey, I need you here. This is what you need to be doing. And a little bit of like, I'm more important than that nigga.
Yeah, because it was weird because I think he was more mad that she was getting quote unquote off task.
Right.
And I enjoy her standing up to him like, well, you know, hey, look, you're not the only one who's giving up shit for this.
Right.
And you're not the boss of me. I don't know if you remember, we all volunteered. Like, you don't have to, you don't get to run us and we're not machines. Now she got kidnapped and there was another episode where, I think she was kidnapped by the villain Shrapnel and he was going to blow her up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this idea, like, then there was a time where like, well, does Oliver care about her in a romantic way?
Right.
You know, or not. Then at the very end, they really play off of that where they're trying to convince Deathstroke that the Felicity's the one to kidnap to get to Oliver. So they do like this really romantic scene when, cause they know that the house is,
it's bugged
by Slade Wilson and he'll see them and try to kidnap her instead of Laurel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that it's very interesting. You know, and I love that scene. I love that plan.
Right. And honestly, I was fooled. I was like, oh shit.
That's how you know it's good when they fool the audience. Cause I was like, wow, they finally are accepting that they're in a relationship together.
Right. And it was just believable all the way around. It was like, he played that, she played that. And I was like, oh, okay.
Now I'm assuming her love interest, storyline with Barry Allen, who will become the Flash in his own TV show. They kind of show his origin, quote unquote, in Arrow, but they don't really give him a lot to do. Like, he's a guy that comes from like, I forget what city he comes from. But
a nearby city, yeah.
Yeah, I forget the Flash's home city, but he comes from there and, you know, he ends up, helping out with this case and then going back. And then he gets struck by lightning and, you know, the end. And I think maybe Felicity goes to visit him or something, but
she did.
When she does, he's in there with another woman and I think that's the end of their romantic story arc, I'm believing. Maybe it'll come up in season one of Flash or season three of Arrow.
I think it will.
But, you know, the point being, it's kind of a short-lived thing for this season, like 2 to 3 episodes, and then it's over with. So, but that is, you know, a thing that happened with her. And I do like that her whole thing this season was, I want to step up. I want to become part of this fight. I don't want to just be on the computer. And she does get her hands dirty. Now, she doesn't go out there killing people and become a badass.
No, but she got, like, nicked on something. And she was, because everybody was like, I got a scar. Like, all of them was like, I got a scar. And she was like, I want a scar. Then she was, like, talking to the canary, but she didn't know how to express herself because she felt so left out.
Right.
So she didn't know, and she was like, well, I'll train you. And she was like, no, I train myself. It's like she got angry, not really realizing she really wanted to help her, but she just expressed it in such a manner. She was like, okay, I'll leave you alone. Then she got a nick. I think she ended up saving Canary. Something, she got shot at or something like that. She ended up saving her. And when everybody else was like, I got a scar, she was like, I got a scar too.
Yeah. So, Felicity was, very interesting this season. I can't wait to see what happens with her next season. Let's see, who else? Let's talk about John Diggle. Now, Diggle, I think, is going to branch off into a lot of other stuff because he had a lot going on this season.
Yes, he did.
And one of the better sidekicks and one of the better black characters in comic books right now, in my opinion, because Diggle has his own, like, background that is just completely separate from Oliver that is really in-depth.
Right, his wife.
Yeah, like his wife works for for this, you know, what the fuck is that?
The lady over the Death Squad.
Yeah, give me a second. Her name is Amanda Waller.
Right.
Played by Cynthia Di Robinson, who's fine. Who looks like Zoe Saldana to me, but apparently is not. I've just been thinking that for 2 years. But yeah, so he has a wife that basically works for her. I think her name is Lila. It may even be his ex-wife or something like that.
Yeah, they're divorced.
But she comes and recruits Diggle to come back and work and help them out. And with the Suicide Squad, and it basically turns into a big
squad. I meant Suicide.
Yeah. And it basically turns into a big spinoff for the Suicide Squad, which for people that are into the comic books, amazing. Like just something where it's one of those things where you wish a TV show would do something that cool. And then they do it, you know? So now you got Deadshot in there. You got Bronze Tiger, who we haven't even mentioned yet, but was another great, villain. He was played by, my man who played Black Dynamite. What is that dude's name? He played Spawn. Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Jai White, you know, plays a character. And it's just so fun, you know, like
it was.
It's like a spinoff episode. It doesn't have much to do with Oliver, you know, and they do have and of course Diggle has this history with Deadshot because Deadshot killed his brother and they have this animosity, but there's also like this kind of respect for each other where they have really good banter and they're forced into situations where they're on missions together, not just for the Suicide Squad, but for that prison break thing they did one episode. So like Diggle is an interesting dude all by himself.
Right, because you have his wife, you have the interaction with Amanda Waller, and also it's one of those things where Amanda Waller, oh, we're going to talk about her too, right?
Yeah, well, we can. I mean, well, you know, let's talk about her now with Diggle because she doesn't have a huge story arc, but she's definitely part of the story. And part of that is because she's the leader of Suicide Squad and she's this tough, no nonsense lady. Now, I do prefer the comic book slash cartoon version of her, the bigger black lady who takes no nonsense, but you know, I'll take attractive Waller as long as you keep the character core the same, which is that she is cold-blooded and she will kill anybody and anyone as long as it is in the best interest of protecting whatever, you know, the United States or the Earth or whatever the bigger goal is. Like, she was willing to blow the city up.
Right. She was like, Oliver, I don't know what you doing, but yeah, we're going to blow the whole damn city up. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no. She was like, look, this is the amount of time you got. You don't have it in this period of time. I'm taking everybody out. Like
her answer to everything is drones.
Right. They had to come in there and hold guns to her to delay the whole process. And she was like, yeah, y'all going to have to shoot me because if this nigga don't get it done, I'm going to be dead, but I'm going to be blowing this goddamn city up all at the same time. And she was the one that told him that his wife, ex-wife, was pregnant.
Yep.
And the thing about it, and I think they're going to
This was in the mission where Diggle's such a badass, man. He's like him and his wife infiltrated Cadmus or whatever it is that Waller is over, and basically he had two guns on her like, yo, I'm about to fuck you up. And she pulled two guns out and then hit him at the stomach punch of your wife pregnant. You know, like it was just a cool moment. And it was all to buy Oliver a little bit of time to keep the city from blowing up.
Right. And the thing about her is that I cannot wait until next season because I guarantee there's gonna be a lot of fucking flashbacks with her because the way the season kind of ended, they did like a flashback when they found Oliver. And how his first interaction with her, and because it's like she knows everything. Like she knows who they are, their identity, like she keeps a track of them.
Right.
Like, so she was like, oh, don't play no games. I know what your ass do, what your ass doing at night. Like, you ain't got to lie to me, nigga.
Yeah. And it's funny because, the thing I like about Diggle is that he'll also use Oliver.
Right.
Like, he's not just a tool to be used, but, you know, if he gets into a situation where he's like, look, Oliver, you need to help me. Like, right. We always doing some shit for you. What about my shit? I want to catch Deadshot, you know, and he has his own motivations. And that's one of the things I really like about him. Now, I don't like, They kind of got rid of that black lady love interest, which was his brother's ex-wife, kind of disappeared from this. And then they brought in, Lila as his new love interest, Lila Michaels.
I think it was something like, I can't handle this. And she bounced.
Yeah. So that was kind of weak because I liked that character and I liked that storyline, but I'm guessing that that's over now. It's going to be interesting to see what Daddy Diggle does next season and how that affects him helping Oliver. Like, is he gonna have to change because he's a father now? Is Lila gonna be more in the picture? Is she gonna have to stop doing what she's doing because she's pregnant, you know?
Right. And it's gonna be interesting because at one period of time I was thinking about him and Felicity because they spent so much time with each other.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that would, not trying to be funny, would turn into a love interest.
Yeah. And at the end of the season, they even have that moment where Lila shoots a rocket launcher into the clock tower with the ninjas in it. Mm-hmm. And Diggle even has a moment of like, that's my boo, you know? So I'm assuming that's going to be the relationship going forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's gonna happen with Felicity. She's kind of like a Tyler Perry character. She's just a woman without a man.
Right. And it's gonna be interesting to see what they do, his character development, his interaction with Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he like you say, he's like, we're gonna do some shit I wanna do. And his interaction with Deadshot, because I think something happened. They had was doing one of their missions, and he was like, I know you shot my brother. He was like, do you know who gave you like the orders to do it? And he like, I forgot he threw a hint at him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, where's that going to go?
Not to mention he saved Deadshot in that episode where, they went to infiltrate this, this party and all this stuff and went on this mission. And, Amanda Waller was going to use Deadshot's tracking device that also can blow his skull up, as he stood next to the chemicals they wanted to destroy. She was going to use that as a homing beacon to send the missiles to destroy the drones.
Right.
Like, that's how cold-blooded she was. And Diggle went and basically saved that dude. So, right. You know, that's an interesting relationship, and I do want to see where that goes.
Me too.
Let's talk about Sarah Lance. Also known as the Black Canary. Now, to me, she had probably the second or third most interesting storyline because her story actually goes back to the flashbacks.
Right.
I really enjoyed some of the slower moments with her, which is the episodes where they show the Lance family before they broke up,
mm-hmm.
when everybody's happy and they show this kind of competition between her and Laurel,
mm-hmm.
where you realize that Laurel's not as sweet and innocent and the victim as much as they play her out to be now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anyone deserves to have her sister cheat on her with the man that she's into.
Right.
But they kind of like have this thing where like Laurel doesn't really even seem to like Oliver that much anyway.
At the time, yeah.
And, you know, Sarah and Oliver are obviously doing some underhanded shit even fucking with each other. But, I kind of enjoyed that, you know, just because to have the relationship dynamic of like what this did to their family.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the flashbacks on the island.
Right. We're excellent with her in them.
Yeah. I love how like she shows up because in the beginning, we just kind of see her get flooded away and we think Oliver basically is the reason this woman is dead. And that's how we know her as the sister who died because Oliver was too selfish. Now, if you think about it, Oliver knew she's been alive all this time. The flashbacks are telling us as an audience that she's alive, and this is a surprise to us, but Oliver knew that, we thought Oliver knew that, thought that she was dead.
Right.
Now,
cause he thought she was dead, cause she had basically died twice in front of his eyes.
Right.
So in his mind, he was like, this bitch is dead.
Right. We didn't know there was this whole second kind of arc to her story where she comes back, working for the captor, Dr. Ivo,
mm-hmm.
who was an interesting character, who's doing experiments with the Mirakuru and, all this stuff on the island. So, ends up basically giving Slade superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we didn't know all this shit was going on with her. And we find out on the island, like, she becomes a love interest, as a love triangle. Mabu, Shadow gets killed. The Asian woman that, was, in love with Oliver, and Oliver was in love with her on the island. But then she ends up getting killed because Oliver, jumps in front of the gun, to save, Sarah. And then, Ivo decides to kill Shadow instead. And this really is the impetus for everything that pops off
from that point on
with Slade and Sarah. Because he loved
that woman.
Yeah. And it's funny because I wondered was Slade in love with Shadow for a part of it, because he never makes a move on her.
Ever.
And you don't really get that feeling because she doesn't really return it. But then when she dies, Slade obsesses, where you go, man, I think he was in love with her.
Yeah, even though he knew they were together, he knew they were fucking, but he was like, you don't appreciate her, you're young punk. That was kind of his attitude.
But he even I think there's scenes where he sees them making out or sees her naked, and he's like a gentleman about it. But it turns out that, you know, he was kind of in love with her the whole time, too.
Right.
The Shadow storyline is really, everything happens because of that, because Slade decides that Oliver is at fault for letting Shadow die. Because as far as he's concerned, he don't know this new bitch. And she was on the freighter torturing them, as far as he knows, working for the bad guys. And he wasn't there to see what happened. Two, the drugs made him crazy. So now he sees Shadow and she's still alive in his mind.
He's hallucinating.
When they're like, hey, we need to still get out the island. He's now with his new found drug powers, like, nope, we're gonna kill Ivo. We're not getting off this island till that man's dead. So, you know, his whole thing is that, her whole thing with Sarah is that she's kind of always caught between a rock and a hard place. Now, at some point in time, which I'm assuming we'll see in season 3, she's gotten super duper ninja training.
Yes.
And she's now the Black Canary. You know, she's joined, Ra's al Ghul's cult, the head of the demon. She's joined them. I forget what they're called. What are they called? Whatever they're called. God damn it. This is going to bother me all day. I got to look this up. Give me one second, guys. But, that's just something of the League of Assassins. She joins the League of Assassins. And, another interesting part of her storyline is that she took on a female lover while she was in the League of Assassins.
Right, because his
the estranged daughter of Ra's al Ghul.
Right, because she came back and was like, who this nigga and why is he here? And I don't care what y'all doing, but you mine and you coming back with me.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know, this pussy mine, girl. You promised it to me.
Right.
Now don't make me have to ask you twice.
Cause I will kill everybody in here.
Yeah. And she comes back. I'm looking up her name now, but, cause she was an interesting character too. As, you know, Ra's al Ghul's estranged, daughter. She comes through as basically like killing the shit out of people. She has her own agenda, and most of it culminates in the idea of, hey, we want Sarah back, and you know, if it was up to my father, he just had you killed.
Right.
You know.
But we're trying to bring you back alive.
And an interesting side story to this is that Liam Neeson, who plays Ra's al Ghul in the movie Batman Begins, actually said he wouldn't mind doing it for the show.
That would be everything.
Yeah, now I don't know if they'll do that or not, but you know, that would be cool
to incorporate him in. Oh yes.
Yeah, but let me see if I can open this. But what was her name? I can't remember the name of the daughter of Ra's al Ghul, man. It's gonna bother me. She came back. It was episode 13, Heir to the Demon, where old girl came back, and she even comes back later to basically save the city in exchange for Sarah going off with her.
Right.
Which ends up basically,
she released her, didn't she?
Yeah. Like at the end of that, she basically was like, hey, I'll let you go. But, and it gives her that lesbian kiss, and you're like, oh wait, I think they were more than, friends.
Right.
But yeah, she comes back and is like, you know, I will help you, you know, save the city. But it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you. You know, you are going to have to, you know, you're going to have to leave with me. Nisa, that's her name. Mm-hmm. Nisa. Yeah, the estranged daughter of Ra's al Ghul. She's basically like, hey, you got to come with me now. You belong to me once we save this city. So no more, Laurel and Oliver at the end of the season. So maybe, I mean, Sarah and Oliver. So maybe he'll go back to Laurel because that was who the whole season two was end up saving. Know, or maybe they'll do something with him and Felicity.
I don't think he's going to go back to Laurel.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I think that they've been through everything and Laurel knows who the Canaries, her sister and all that stuff. And
she also knows Oliver's the arrow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so she basically knows everything. So I think for her, I think she's going to, I don't know how they're going to incorporate it, but I think she's going to become a member of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she puts on a jacket, you know, her sister left behind. I think that they're to the point where they go, there's nothing here. You know, yeah. I've been on drugs, you know, I've gotten off of drugs now, but I don't want you. You don't want me. We both understand this. Almost like we're no good for each other. We just need to be friends. And mm-hmm. I think too, she's looking at him like, your purpose, almost like a father, your purpose is bigger than me, and I don't want to be here as a hindrance.
Mm.
Well, so see, maybe I may be wrong, but I don't think they'll get back together.
I think they'll end up still be a love interest because I don't think the show can just let that relationship die.
Okay.
So I think they gotta keep teasing it. Now, obviously, I don't think it'll work out because nothing ever works out for heroes and their love interest.
Nope.
But I do think they'll continue to, you know, ship that. Maybe they'll make it a triangle with Felicity.
Right.
Not to mention one of my favorite episodes involved Sarah and the Huntress when the Huntress came back to kill her father. And there was a lot of funny ex-girlfriend comedy there where mm-hmm. Sarah's the new boo and they're trying to stop, the Huntress from killing her father. And the Huntress takes a whole courthouse hostage.
You know? she was fucking insane.
Including Laurel.
Right. She was like, oh, I found out where my daddy is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He got to die for what he did.
Mm-hmm. So it was a very, you know, fun season with Sarah's identity and all this stuff and her actually having a past. Really enjoyed it. So we'll see what happens in the future. Cause I'm assuming they're not done with her. She'll be back somehow in season three.
She'll be back.
Even if it's her back with her new boo, Nisa.
Right. Even if they just give us clips of what she's doing in her training there or maybe forms of flashbacks.
Right. Cause season, the big reveal at the end of season, the end of the flashbacks of season two is that they're now in Japan.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see how Oliver develops his skill set there. And that's actually where he's introduced to Amanda Waller.
Right. So that's going to be interesting. I think we're going to find out more about that. And we might, with, his sister going back, we mm-hmm. might see their interaction with each other.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that. Let's see, what else Laurel Lance, we've talked around it, but we haven't talked about everything with her. She starts off distrusting, the Arrow and kind of distrusting Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very hurt by Tommy's death. She gets on drugs.
Mm-hmm. In denial.
Yeah. Starts dating Brother Blood on the low because she's dating the mayor.
Right.
So there's a love interest thing there. Finds out, in one of the craziest episodes when she goes to see, like, to check on him and goes to this institution, that she thinks is like an old folks home because she wants to, like, see who he's going to visit
and who he's paying money to.
Yeah.
It makes you seem like a bill or something.
And it turns out it's not his mom. It's like the woman, his aunt or somebody who ended up taking care of him after he killed his parents.
Oh, I thought it was his mother.
Oh, was it his mom?
I think it was his mom. She ended up seeing a receipt with like a aunt or somebody like that. And she was like, who's this for? He was like, oh, I'm paying my aunt's, whoever's medical bill.
Oh.
And she walked in there because she wanted to see, and it ended up being his mama. And she was like, yeah, my son is crazy. He shot his father. He's insane. He had me locked up in here. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. And then come to find out, he finds out that she had visited. Mm-hmm. And that's when he tries to play it like she's insane. like Laurel was insane because he was like, you can't be telling everybody this.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, that like, and at some point she figures out that Oliver is the Arrow.
Yes.
Not that, like, and we don't know what she's going to do with this information. Cause mm-hmm. like, is she going to tell everybody? Is she going to expose him? Cause she's kind of mad at him and shit. But, she realized that he's a good dude overall. Mm-hmm. And, he ends up saving her, at the end of the season. Which kind of makes me feel like they're going to try to do something with that relationship now.
That's true too. And I think she was going to tell, yeah, I think she was going to tell her daddy. And her dad was like, I don't tell me who he is.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
Right.
Like it's only going to hurt. Now one thing that was super unrealistic about her character was she went from like such a drug problem. She ends up getting pulled off of her job and her business closes and all this shit, mm-hmm. you know? And then she ends up like still becoming like assistant DA again. And I'm like, that would never happen in that short period of time. Mm-mm. You know, hey, I'm off drugs, y'all. Can I get my job back? You know?
And I think at first they told her no.
Right. Yeah. And it just felt kind of forced, but cause she has to have something going on.
Right.
Her finding out that her sister is, did she find out her sister's alive? Or does she still not figure it out? I can't remember.
Yes, she
figured it out.
She knows. Mm-hmm. And her father knows. Her mother, the mother has no idea.
Yeah.
The mother's out of the loop.
Yeah. So, you know, that was kind of cool because they had that moment where they reconcile and realize things are bigger than their beef over Oliver.
Right.
But she did realize that they were together. Oliver and Sarah for a while. I mean, obviously at the end of the season, they're not, but you know, like you said, maybe it'll be a hindrance and they'll realize there's nothing there. We shouldn't get together.
Right. And also, you know? I think that, because Canary came and saved her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they did a flashback where she was kind of putting the pieces together and she was like, hey, I think this is my sister, you know, cause the, her caring and the questions that she asked. And she was like, she knew so much information about me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she kind of clued it. Nobody told her. I think she pieced it together herself.
Now we got to give credit to my man, the second most big character, the second to last. My man, Manu Bennett, man. Slade Wilson.
What? He stole the show.
Murdered this fucking season. Like, honestly, like I know they'll never give it to it because it's a comic book show, but his role deserved an Emmy nomination. Mm-hmm. He chewed the scenery.
Right.
Every single thing he said was so melodramatic.
Cause that voice.
Yeah. Like just, you know, everything, like if it would have been a, you didn't put a toothpick in my sandwich.
Petrified. I'm sorry, sir. My bad.
Yeah. Like it was just so good. I'm trying to see if I can find a scene of him talking. Let me see if this works.
Slade, come back to die.
Well, actually, no, that's him fighting Wintergreen. I want to find a scene of him. Here's one where he's hallucinating, and he's talking to Arrow.
It's a bit more comfortable than the fuselage on the island.
You're not real.
Neither are you. You told everyone when you started this crusade that it was about making up for your father's sins. That was a lie. The charade is to atone for your sins.
You're dead.
You are not a hero. Or a friend. Or a brother. You are nothing. Do not turn your back on me. Not again.
You're gone.
Wherever I am, it's time you joined me. They say a coward dies a thousand deaths, but even that wouldn't be enough for you.
I tried to save you and her,
but you couldn't, just like you couldn't save this city. The island didn't make you strong, kid. It revealed you to be weak.
Oh,
And that was just a vision. That wasn't even him. That was all in Oliver's head. So good. Like, honestly, dog, I'm so glad they didn't kill him at the end of the season.
Right.
I need him to come back. Like, I don't care that he lost his superpowers. He's still going to be like, fuck Oliver forever. And if they have any, and they had to put him in the super, super duper secret prison.
Yeah, he going to fuck around and escape.
I need him to get out, and I need that to be a thing.
Oh, he is.
I love him. He is the best. He was the best thing about this season.
The best bad guy. And they, the flashbacks he did was beautiful. When, it's like his presence. Because there was a scene where he showed up and was like a business partner with his mother.
Yes.
And Oliver walked in and seen that nigga and looked at him, and the whole atmosphere changed.
He was looking for something to kill him with.
Immediately. Like immediately. And, you know, they was walking around, and their interactions were so goddamn intense.
And why anyone would trust a man with an eye patch, I don't know, but.
Right.
He was going around telling people, like, he was, as a businessman, he was going around manipulating things. He's basically the reason that Oliver ended up losing Queen Consolidated to, Isabel Rochev, who's played by Summer Glau, who did a great job. Now she wasn't in the show a lot, so I'm not giving her own segment, but like, as an underling, she was devoted to.
Yeah, and she did a great job.
She was devoted to, Slade. She ends up getting superpowered, Miracle, to save her life, because she almost dies. But she's a huge bad guy in this season too. That is just big, a part of a bigger plan by Slade to take him down at every turn. Like, right. Slade is thought of everything.
Right. And she had a motivation. She was like, your daddy was supposed to be with me. We were together. I think his sister fell off a horse or something like that. And she was like, he left me and went back to you guys. Fuck you.
Right. Like, I'm the real daughter.
Right.
Everybody got break babies in this show. Whether it's Thea Queen being a break baby or, Isabel, being a break baby.
Right.
Break babies everywhere. Break babies for all. But yeah, so she shows up and, is part of this plot. So is Brother Blood.
Right.
He's a huge part of this plot too. He's, even as a mayor, you know, he thinks he's working with Deathstroke, but he's actually being used by Deathstroke.
Right. And then thought he had some control and was like, hey, y'all listen to me. Mm-hmm. They looked at each other like, we don't report to you.
Right. They don't. Yeah. We don't know you, nigga. So I love that about him. Just as a character.
Right.
He's so manipulative.
Yes. One step ahead of everybody.
Right. And what's funny is most of the stuff he does is just to distract Oliver. Taking his company, messing with his family, kidnapping Thea, kidnapping Laurel. It's all just a end game to say, I'm going to destroy everything you care about, your city. I'm going to take your company. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to kill your mother. And then I'm going to kill the woman you love, just like you did Shadow. And now I will say the one thing I don't like about the character, but Manu does such a good job with it that it doesn't matter. I hate that his motivation is you killed Shadow when it's so obvious that Oliver had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, I get that in his crazy mind.
Right.
In his crazy mind, he's supposed to have seen, but I would have much rather them have either shown him and Shadow, like, had a love scene or something to justify this, maybe when Oliver was kidnapped on the freighter, or if they would have, like, done something like, made Oliver actually pull the trigger to kill her. Something that would make it more of a, like, Oliver did have something to do with that death and he can't avoid it.
Okay.
As opposed to all this suffering for really a huge misunderstanding.
True.
Also, he was great in the flashbacks, by the way.
Excellent in the flashbacks, especially the scene on the boat with the water coming in.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're going to die. He was like, fuck it. We just going to have to die because we're going to fight today, my friend.
And Oliver really got bailed out that the ceiling caved on him.
Right.
And then I think he even shot an arrow in his eye, and that's how he lost his eye.
Yes.
I'm assuming he loses his eye couldn't heal right because the arrow stayed stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived. He got out of that shit right. somehow.
And he ended up telling him about how he made it back. Mm-hmm. I think he ended up saying because of the drugs, mm-hmm. he was like floating, and he told about the rocks just tearing his skin to pieces and him rehealing and it just tearing his skin to pieces until he like floated. I was like, God damn, he done been through a lot.
Man, he was a beast, man. Right. Not to mention the action scenes with him.
Were excellent.
Crazy. And he whooped Arrow's ass so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Whooped his motherfucking ass. It was ass whooping deluxe every day of the season until the last fucking fight. And Arrow barely made it out of that. And it was because of the drugs that he eventually got out of his system. Like, and I love that they incorporated trick arrows this season. I don't think they did it enough in season one. Mm-hmm. But this one, you know, now they didn't do the boxing glove arrow, which honestly I would love, even though I know that's corny. But they did the one where he shot the rope around Slade and tied him to a pillar to cure him.
Yeah.
That was dope.
And also, was it Slade? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Slade too? Because they thought Slade was dead because they didn't have an interaction with him before. And he ended up having to stab him and Slade together. Or was that somebody else he ended up having to stab?
No, that was Merlin. That's okay, how he killed Merlin at the end of season one.
Yeah, that's how he ended up killing Merlin, and Merlin ended up coming back from that bullshit.
Yeah, and so, I mean, Oliver's not good at killing bad guys for life.
No.
But, we kind of talked about Merlin coming back, taking Thea, mm-hmm. trying to think, is there any major storyline we missed? Now, there were some good side villains in here. I do want to bring them up. Mm-hmm. Bronze Tiger, we already talked about, by Michael Jai White. Great character. Loved him in Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him just as a bad guy in general.
Right.
China White was the Asian sidekick of Bronze Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
I love her character as well. They don't do enough with her, I think, but maybe we'll get more of her at some point. But she's really fun. Shrapnel was the bad guy who kept blowing shit up.
Okay.
He put the bombs on everybody. I think he kidnapped Felicity at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was it? The mayor, black dude. Now he was terrible. He was the black crime lord dude who brought in illegal guns and had all this like just stereotypical. Oh. I'm from the hood, but I'm also the smartest black man.
He was the worst.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy him as a character.
He was pointless.
Yeah, he was so pointless, and it was, you know, the mayor, just
so over the top.
Yeah, so over the top. I think one was called the doll maker. He was the one filling women up with like some type of fluid, and he almost killed Laurel, but
that was some creepy shit.
Yeah, he was a creepy ass villain, and he was targeting all women, trying to put stuff up on them, which was really gross.
Right.
Yeah. So that was terrible. Let's see. Then of course you got all the villains in, Deadshot, the, episode where they go to the prison to Moscow, with Diggle and Lila. Diggle goes to rescue Lila, his ex-wife, and he has to do it with Deadshot. So Deadshot is always an interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Who else is, Oh, Barry Allen, The Flash. He's not a bad guy, but, you know, a fun cameo.
Right.
Cyrus Gold, who eventually dies, and he will be brought back as Solomon Grundy, for people that don't know that. But Cyrus Gold was just basically a regular bad guy that got hit with the Mirakuru. Mm-hmm. And for a while, Oliver was fighting him, and he got poisoned and left for dead when he fought him and had hallucinations.
Right,
and
he was super strong.
Yeah, Brother Blood captured Roy and drugged him up. Like, a lot happened in that episode. It was three ghosts, episode 9. But yeah, Cyrus Gold was beating the shit out of Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And Oliver figured out
business.
Yeah, Oliver eventually figured out how to beat him. And that was one of the best fight choreographed scenes, of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Shrapnel already talked about. Brother Blood, we've already talked about. I hate that they killed Brother Blood, actually, because I liked him as a character.
Right. I wish they would let him get away and he'd come back.
Yeah, and like, they had some good confrontations, like when they had lunch together and they were just looking like they were going to fight, but it was just a really intense lunch.
A extremely intense lunch.
Yeah. See, Bronze Tiger escaped prison. We remember that. Let's see, who else? Of course, Clock King was in it, but he was like really barely in it. Like, he really didn't get much time. His whole thing was like, I commit crimes using the clock with such precision and all this shit.
Right.
And they really didn't give him, but in all fairness, not a very good villain in the comic books either.
Okay, but
totally throwaway.
Yeah, he on an episode was good enough for him.
Yeah.
I mean, for me.
Yeah. Let's see who else we had. Dr. Iroh. Yeah, he's the bad guy on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good bad guy. In the comic books, like, there's a lot more to him. Like, he eventually, like, he's always trying to find the secret to immortality. And he eventually does achieve it by becoming a bad guy that lives in this hideous, like, body of this thing. So we'll see what happens with that. Yes. I don't think, you know, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, they might bring that back. They might not, because with the flashbacks, they literally can go anywhere.
Yeah. Let's see. So we already had Deadshot, Bronze Tiger, Shrapnel, and the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
The Huntress came back. Pretty short story arc. Crazy as shit. I like her crazier than before.
Right, because she was batshit.
Yeah, like, her being crazy was actually kind of dope. See if I'm missing any other bad guys. Nyssa, of course, we talked about her. Daughter of Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Roy, we already talked about. I think that might be about it for all the side villains. That was the side villains. In case we missed anybody, of course, you guys can always leave comments on this episode on the page. But of course, the last person we got to talk about, Roy. I mean, Oliver.
Oliver.
Sorry, Oliver. I keep calling Oliver Roy. Oliver, I gotta say, Steve Amell did a much better job acting this season.
Yes, he did.
Felt like, and maybe it's because they also gave him less of the bullshit parts, because they always tried to make him do the carefree boy billionaire who doesn't really, who uses that as a mask, and I always thought it didn't come off good.
No, and his face is so stony.
Right.
Like, he has
stoic.
Right. I call it stony, just like a rock.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's one of those things where I think he does better with the action, the more, hey, let's go whoop some ass, let's do this. I'm angry. He does a lot better on that part than he does with the emotional part.
And the stuff that happened to his public face, as Oliver Queen, actually lended itself better to his acting skills, because in the show, the things that are happening to his character are things that would make someone be very stoic and like negative. It's his mom's going to possibly go to prison and get the death penalty.
Right.
His sister gets kidnapped. His love life is falling apart. Like, these are things, you know, he's losing his business. So now we have less of the, hey, I'm at a party, everyone toast up, can't you guys see that I'm really not the Arrow? Like, we have less storylines like that.
And
it made the show better.
Right. And when his mother died, like, he got missing for like months on end. And
yeah, he wanted to quit being the Arrow and everything.
Right. They had to find, I don't know how they end up. Well, it's like, where the fuck are you? And I think they end up getting like some outside help to find out where he was, because he had hidden himself so good that none of their GPS, he was no camera. They was like, where are you, nigga?
And that's how he lost his business. Like, it was just all this because Slade was just so far ahead of him. And you know, the best part of his acting and the best part of the character this year was the in over his head feeling.
Right.
Before this, they always kind of made it seem like he was a little in over his head because he couldn't beat the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew what he was doing. And he always had a plan and all this shit. This joint was like, you don't want to kill anymore. But then, to be honest, he got forced to kill in a lot of situations. And he kind of flirts with not killing. And most of the time he doesn't now. But there's still some situations where it's like he can't help it. You know, like, I think he had to kill Shrapnel. Like, he didn't have a choice. Like, so it depends on stuff like that. But, the characters conflict with killing was great.
Yes.
The idea of being, I'm going to stop Slade without killing him was, it seems so daunting of a task because he got his ass kicked by Slade so much.
Right.
Even in his dream, he got beat up by Slade.
Right. It was a no-win situation.
So I was like, this dude is like, how do you win? And I love that feeling of watching into the last episode going, how do you win this fight? Such a good job of writing. Mm-hmm. And casting and acting to make me feel that way. And you know, the guy lost a lot this year. The character
lost his mom.
He essentially lost his sister. He lost his love interest. He lost his company. Like, it's funny when you look back, Slade really won. The only thing he didn't lose was his city.
Right.
He saved the city of Starling, but it cost him everything. Can't wait to see how they start season 3.
Yeah. That's going to be very interesting to see how it starts, how the city responds, and with Laurel's daddy, you know, if he's going to survive, because they basically ended with him just falling out. So you was like, okay, is he going to die? Is he going to make it? You know, and then, like I say, what is her role with the team? Because now she knows everything. It's just going to be really interesting. I think my biggest thing is going to be Thea. Like, I'm just ready to see what they're doing with her, her training, what's going to happen when she goes back to the city.
Yeah, they really made me interested in a character that I've had not much interest in before this.
Right, because she was so fucking annoying before.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm totally in with Thea. I want to see what's going to happen with, if Slade is going to come back, if they're going to use... if they're going to use the Suicide Squad again, because I love those episodes.
Yeah, they're coming back.
And they even have a hint that Harley Quinn's in one of those cells.
Ooh,
so
yes.
If Harley Quinn is in this series at all, oh, man, I would absolutely love to see that.
She's everything.
She is everything. And what else was I going to say about this? Because
whoever plays her has got to be out of their goddamn mind.
Yeah, I want to see what villains they bring up and if they're going to bring in some League of Assassin villains, because the new flashbacks are going to take place in Japan. And, you know, I just want to see, like, what villains they get out of that area or out of the Orient, to bring into this franchise. And, you know, I'm actually kind of interested in how Oliver puts his personal pieces of his life back together.
Mm-hmm.
No sister, no mom, no love interest, just him, Felicity, and I wonder if Diggle's gonna want to quit because, hey, now I'm a father. I can't be out here doing this dangerous shit.
Right.
Wonder
if Felicity may opt to leave or if something happens to her.
Mm-hmm. So, those are all the big questions I really have for next season, which starts, you know, maybe a month or two. I really can't wait to see what happens, you know, for this show, man. Such a great job, WB, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They come back Tuesday, October 7th. So,
yeah.
Tuesday, October 7th, man. I'm all about this. So, can't wait to see this.
A little over a few days of a month.
Mm-hmm. Also, the 100 will be back. So, I know Karen never finished that, but I fucks with it.
yeah, I've got a little ways to go. But, yeah, I've knocked down a few episodes.
But, yeah, absolutely in love with this show. Couldn't have done a better job. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Off Season Reviews. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with a review of another show soon. Until then, y'all have a good one. Peace.
Peace.